Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
How do you want to see you?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, 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 holy. I want to see you.
Amen and amen. I want to see him too, don't you? And I believe we're seeing him through the opening of the Word. That's the main part where we're at now, because he's not here physically, but he's here to reveal himself. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Turn where we've been reading in Ephesians 1, and we're still in Romans 8. Now, what we want to do tonight is kind of have a kind of like a review back, you know, and pick up the message and bring it up to a place, and then, you know, kind of where we're at, and then talk about what we expect and to come or a future part of it. And we'll call it review and preview, but it's still message number 22 on the adoption in three stages. But I want to cover that with you and to make sure we're lined up and you understanding what I'm saying, you know, and what I'm trying to bring to you. And then that way we can go from there, because there is some things that we are expecting to take place, and there is some things that we know have taken place. So somewhere in between there is where we're dwelling, and I'm happy about it. Had a good time this past weekend with Brother Keith Brown there, and enjoyed his messages and things. I hope that you enjoyed it and had a good time with him. You know, we really appreciate it. Amen. Ephesians 1, Romans 8. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for most of all for being you. And then being you, then you can reveal yourself unto us. We ask you to help us to understand, because, Lord, we truly in this hour desire to see you with our spiritual eyes, because we don't want to see you yet with our physical, because we couldn't stand that. That's why the prophet said even these bodies would have to be changed for us to meet you in the air. So we don't want that part. Others may be talking about, but we don't want that part of it. We want to have it, our spiritual eyes opened unto the revealed word. And Lord, just be with us. Forgive our sins. Bless those that are sick among us. Remember Jeffrey there, Lord, with the problem with the antibiotics or whatever it is causing his sickness. And we ask you to just take care of that and make everything be all right. We love you and we thank you. Guide us each one tonight as we speak about you. Then you come and speak unto us. And lead us by thy grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1. The next minister, visiting minister, will be Brother Quinn, will be the 7th, I think it is, of August. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now let's go back to Romans 8, where we've read from, and we'll read verse 14 through 23. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as I said, I want to review, kind of, you know, come back, start and come up, and just put it in one message and review, and then we will try to, you know, preview some things, which means like get a preview of what to expect, where we're at, and what's going on, and then to move on into what to expect. Now, the prophet of God said when the bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here, or her purpose and things, that she would be then, you know, as he would call it maybe in another place, an invincible army that would be able to walk off of this earth in a rapture. All right. But now, we've been talking about adoption. We've been talking about it in three stages, which is like your new birth, adoption. All right. And that's why Paul would say that in Romans 8:14 and all through there, 15, and you know, being the spirit of adoption and showing who we are as the children of God, you know, and by the new birth, we are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ by the new birth. See, we don't have to wait. This is not a time in the end time to wait to come to something. I believe that's our biggest problem and the basis of what I'll be preaching on for the next 6 months or 6 years, I don't know which way, will be on trying to get you and I to realize who we are by what God has said about us. All right? Because that's the only way that we can do it. And then we'll try to cover a lot of things. But see, Paul said we've received the spirit of adoption. See? All right? So that's the Holy Spirit when you receive the new birth. All right? Now, then there is a time of going from the new birth with the growth development up the stature of a perfect man, etc. I'll say this again in just a minute, but to just put you to a point to let you think about it. And then coming out to the adoption. And then, you know, that adoption being the manifestation of the sons and daughters of a living God. And in comparison with the same as the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. But then coming to wit, as Paul said in verse 23, to wit, to understand the redemption of the body. Now, I want you to think about it because I've made this statement many times throughout the series. If you'll notice, I haven't spoke about the basically the change of the body as much as we've been trying to talk about the revelation. All right? Now, I hope everybody follows that because, see, to me, the adoption, being in three stages, is completed in the basis, or was to be completed in the basis of an understanding of the redemption of the body. See, then will come the redemption of the body. See, then will come the change. Then will come the things, and I've asked you to look up those words. And I won't get to it tonight or and probably won't Sunday morning, but maybe Sunday afternoon. It's just according to how it goes because I'm just waiting. I've asked you to look up the words glorified and, translation and remember to look up to what Brother Branham says about those things. And that way, you know, maybe we'll get into something. All right. But now, you follow me what I'm saying. See, the adoption in three stages is not taking you to the change. That is a fulfillment of what you've been going through all the time. You've been in that process from the time you received the new birth. When you received that new birth, you were in a process, all right? Being born again, as Peter would say. And even talking about the fact that when we receive the new birth, that God laid claim on that body that you're living in. And see, you're not to expect to get a new body or nothing like that, because he's already laid claim to it. He gave you the new birth while you were in this body. You know, so why would he want to give you another body somewhere down the road? See, and that's why I don't believe that, you know, that the people understand the point of what the prophet is trying to say, that we don't get a new body. It's this body made new. You say, well, I know where the prophet said new. That's right, but check all he's talking about. I believe in this body made new. Right. Because it's not going to be of the same. Let me rephrase. I was fixing to say something. But it's not going to be exactly like it is. Because if this body is redeemed, it would mean it would go back. See? And if it goes back, it's got to have a place to go back to. And if it goes back, then there's something got to happen, and we're not going to be, and I hope you listen to what I'm saying, this pulpit was a piece of wood at one time. It has went through a process and brought it down to where that it is now. And then by that process, see, it has reached its goal. And you and I one day will reach a place to where that we can be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. And you'll see then why the prophet would say, and they asked him, said, what is this great translation? Conduct, order, and doctrine. He said, just a change. And it was just as simple. He said, just a change. Then he explained how that would take in place. And we've been through that before, but I want you to stay with me tonight and let's just review a little. All right. See, talking about adoption in three stages. See, first is your new birth. All right. Now, we know the story in case somebody hears it out, you know, and don't understand things. The scripture said in John 1 and 11 that he came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him gave him power to become the sons of God. See, not all Israel is Israel. See, all right? See, it's not that way. All right? So then he came to his own to receive them, and it would be then a kingdom to be set up. And in that kingdom would be different from what most people would be even thinking, because even to, we talk about adoption, Romans 9 and 4, you'll find that adoption pertaineth to the Israelites. So does the covenants, the commandments, the oracles, the things, see, come to Israel. Why? Because he had to come that way to be what I just quoted from John, that he would come to his own, see, because Israel was his chosen people in the Old Testament. It was a people chosen. Now, I'm going to preach on that, the Lord willing, Sunday, on chosen. Maybe Sunday evening. I don't know. But anyhow, chosen. But it's not, you know, we want to keep the point of listening. See, adoption pertained to them. They had the right. They had the lineage. They had the promises. We were Gentiles. We didn't have any promise whatsoever. We had nothing. Now, we had examples or types and shadows that, like Rahab the harlot and things like that, down in the Old Testament while it was being done. But still, you got to remember one thing. He was dealing strictly with them. All right? Because they were his people. Now, you could become a proselyte unto the Jewish faith, you know, and things like that. That was fine. But that still didn't make you a chosen people of God like Israel was first in her beginning. All right. But see, then when she rejected him, then it would show that he would now have to come to the Gentiles, which Gentiles means nations, all right? The Israelites are in this Gentile. Gentile means nations. It can mean Russia, China, Israel, whatever. It just means nations. And see, that was what he was showing in the types and the shadows, that it was going to come to that, as Paul said, the mystery of the bringing in of the Gentiles. All right? And in doing and bringing in to the Gentiles, it would show what he was doing with Ruth and Boaz and all of the types and shadows, that it would come to pass. But now remember, this is a kingdom that he come to set up. The natural Israelite people were looking for a king. All right? They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for all of the promises of the Bible to be fulfilled. Right? But when he came the way he came, they wouldn't accept him. Had he rolled out, as the prophet would refer to it, a carpet right down to, and walk up to Caiaphas and say, "Oh, Caiaphas, boy, you stayed with it, you know, you're really something, and here I am now. We're going to take over." Well, Israel could have received that. That was their idea. But that was not God's plan, because he come to set up a kingdom. A kingdom that would not be dealing with the natural flesh. See? This kingdom I'm talking about, the one that Jesus spoke of in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of the kingdom of God, you know, and the kingdom of heaven and all that. It's not speaking of these natural flesh beings. It's speaking of a spiritual kingdom. See? That he would be the head of that kingdom. All right? And then he would come down and be able to transmit into the human being that would be living in this domain or kingdom, you know, transmit within inside of us the new birth. All right. Making us then the children of God. Now the prophet's right when he's saying that God adopted his own children. Because that's what he does. Because now he's moving it from bringing it into a birth, he's bringing it through the development down through in the end time to the adoptional stages. All right? But see, get the point of what I'm saying. We had to get the new birth. But you know, every Israelite that ever got saved had to get the new birth. Just because they were Israelites did not bring them did not bring to them the spirit of adoption.
Right.
Just because they were Israelites.
Right.
Now, sure, the day of Pentecost, 120 were Israelites. The 3,000 outside were Israelites. Yes. But see, then immediately it changes to a Gentile dispensation. But to show that's what it was going to be, you remember we tried to preach this many, many years ago, to show it was going to be a Gentile dispensation, Jesus went around picking them out. Peter, James, John. See? Not as a nation. He wasn't coming to deal as a nation then, see, that the adoption would pertain unto the Israelites. See? All the promises and everything is to Israel, but they rejected it. All right. But he came to set up a kingdom, the new birth. That new birth brought you and I into the body of Christ. See? All right. See, then you got the growth development. You've got the stature of a perfect man. You've got the things to transpire that is taught there in the Word. And it, you know, the prophet preached those things unto us. And we must not be just babies tossed to and fro with every little wind of doctrine, but we must grow in grace and knowledge. All that's written in the Bible. All right. But knowing and realizing then that something was missing. Those disciples had the faith of the fathers. All right. You see that faith of the fathers lasting on down, as the prophet would cover it, on down into the fourth church age. See, when you would get down to Columba and all of those, they would still be dealing with the faith of the fathers. Maybe getting smaller in amounts, yes, but still it was there for the people, but then you see it as it's passing away, and that was what Jesus said, the corn of wheat must die and fall into the ground, or it will abide alone. Speaking of himself, but speaking then of what would happen to the church. All right? See, then we must be restored back to that faith of the fathers before we can even talk about a change of the body or the things. See? All right? Then that's why that I've tried to cover it to you and give you examples of showing you, see, that we started a new birth. Jesus started not having to have a new birth, but receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the River Jordan, yes. And God saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. All right. See, then when he gives you and I the new birth, you remember that? That he's still saying, this is whom I'm pleased to dwell. Why? Because if he's not in you, you don't have the new birth. And if he's in you, then he's pleased to dwell in you. Or he wouldn't be in you. Is that plain enough? Yeah. But see, that was what I was trying to get to point to us, to where we could see it. All right. See, then we have to follow the prophet's message in the line of growth development, bringing us from the new birth, being into the family of God. Now, remember, the family I'm talking about is a spiritual condition, not a physical condition. If it was a physical condition, you'd be required to be Jewish in your lineage. See? You know, natural. Because that's what they think. And that was what it was for them. But they rejected that, and God turned to the Gentiles to bring us into the position to where we could be brought into the family of God by the new birth, or adopted. See? Then we must grow through the growth development. See? Coming to a place, and see, Jesus being an example, not having to get the new birth, but yet he was an example, pleased to dwell. All right, we get the new birth. That makes us the children of God. God identifies us as his children by giving you the new birth. That's why you cry, Abba, Father. See? All right, Father, Father, coming out and doing it. Then you have to have the growth development. The Lord Jesus went through 3 years of growth development. And then he finally came to a Mount of Transfiguration experience. All right? Now you remember that? He went to a Mount of Transfiguration experience, to where it was not just my beloved Son, but then it became what? Hear ye him. All right. Now, that would be in the adoption, and we must come to that. But see, that's the growth development that I tried to explain. We must come to a place to where that he can not only say, I'm pleased to dwell, but say, hear ye him. All right? Coming into the position of the adoption. All right? Now, we know for a certainty, the prophet taught it, we brought it out and tried to explain it, that even though the disciples had the faith of the fathers, but still, having the faith of the fathers, that did not bring the adoption back to the position of the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God as Jesus had it, to hear ye him. All right. See, that would have to be when the head would unite. All right. You remember when we were bringing that out? See, when it come to the place there on the Mount of Transfiguration, the headstone was there, which was Almighty God, showing and manifesting, showing full authority. And from that he goes to the change. All right? Now, but see, we come to the position of the authority being brought back to the church. And see, What gets me about it is when you speak of authority, everybody wants to jump all the way, hallelujah, way off out yonder somewhere. Why not just take it where we're at? That has been my argument, I guess you call it, ever since I've been in this message. Why can't we realize what God is doing? Well, if we had what we talked about having, we'd have this and we'd have that and we'd have that. Show me in the Bible where that was at. You got accounts, but what about all the other accounts? You got times that it would say, Peter and John, you know, would say, I don't have it, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Amen. Well, we've seen people rise up and walk. We've seen people healed. We've seen people delivered. Right? When are we going to quit looking for something to come and look at what's taking place? I tried to explain it to you, and I know when I do that, that it's just automatically you're going to drive you away from the... And I know now what that is, and I'll get to it Sunday. But when you try to explain something, people will go away from it because they'll have the wrong idea. See, people think when I say, look at what's going on, that I'm not looking for more to come. No, I'm looking for greater and greater and greater and greater things to transpire. All right. But I'm also looking at what has transpired. See? And I tried to explain it for all these 40 years here. That take that group of people that was back there with the faith of the fathers, bring them down here where we are now. And let them live under this environment and this place and these denominations. They fought too, Pharisees and Sadducees. And we have 969. That was just way back under 40 years ago, or 50. And then 2,000 or more in this message. Of those demons, and they're all loosed on us. Those 200,000 demons was not loosed on the apostles back there. I'm not trying to justify something. I'm trying to tell it like it is. Where we'll believe it. And have an opportunity to believe it. Lord willing, if I can drive that down Sunday, I want to get it hard. To let you see. We've got to quit looking for something and start looking at what's taking place. See? And by doing that, then we've got to see what God has been doing. Well, look out there. Quit looking out there. See? That's anointed ones. Those disciples and things wasn't facing that like we are. I'm not trying to justify nothing. I can stand here and talk about the things I've seen and the healings that God has taken place. So you know I'm not trying to just justify something. What? But you see, church, to try to preach the truth is the hardest thing that is, the prophet said. Because he said, preaching a lie is easy. People will fall for it like everything. Yeah. But if this message is not preached correctly, God will not come and honor it.
That's right, amen.
No. But see, that's why I've been so zealous about what I've tried to do. Not comparing with Brother Branham when he was saying he's so zealous of the word that he planted. But you better be zealous of the word that's in your heart.
Amen.
Whether you be men, women, children, or who you are. We can't flip-flop around in this day. All right. But you see, the Lord Jesus came to the Mount of Transfiguration was when the head and body united in Him.
Amen.
Then He went forth from there. See? Alright? Now, I've tried my best to explain to you for 40-something years that the headstone to the bride of Jesus Christ is the revealed Word.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about the anointing. I'm not talking about the thing. I'm talking about the headstone.
Alright?
That we'll get to it at the last of the message where that Brother Branham covers how that those two tables of stone come in that temple and there was still nothing going on.
Right.
See? But they had to be in there before anything could start taking place. I believe the headstone to the bride of Jesus Christ when that prophet brought those seven seals. There's the headstone.
Uh-huh.
Come into the church because the same, he was the cornerstone, which is the faith of the fathers. He's the headstone, the fully revealed word. All right. But you see what I'm talking about? See, we take the adoption and we take, there was the Lord Jesus, River Jordan, and then Mount of Transfiguration. And then he brought a message. And I tried my best to explain that to you. That's what happened to Brother Branham. There he was, received the new birth, started God raising him up because he was a prophet. He could receive the word. And when he walked in that word one day, he walked right on into the fully revealed word, the opening of those seals. And then he brought his message. See, we look at adoption as trying to say, oh, one of these days we're going to get the redemption of this body. It's already started. Right. You receive the new birth, your redemption has already started. We just need to wait until it's completed. See? And the finish of it to where we can come to it. See? All right? On Mount of Transfiguration, there is the headstone that came to prove it was. He went right over and preached Matthew 24. See? He was the Word. And the prophet said the Ten Commandments came, those seals come down. That's, I believe, it's unveiling of God, right? He covers it and making the seals and the headstone and the commandments the same. But see, we're looking for something to happen. But get back into the Bible with it. Find out what's in the Bible to see what we're doing. See? When that head and body unites, then there's a message to be brought. Not another message. When the head united with the Lord Jesus is what we call in type at a Mount Transfiguration, he didn't change his message. It was a deeper depth of the same message. Right? Bringing it more into understanding. Right. See, when Brother Branham received the new birth and then taught up through the stature of perfect man, and the seals opened to him, he said it become a new book. But was it a different book? No. Why did he preach Christ the mystery of God revealed then after the seals broke? Why did he preach who is this Melchizedek after the seal broke? It just went into a deeper depth. And that's all we've ever done. That's all I've ever tried to get you to see. What you see today is just a foundation for what's tomorrow. But if we don't get the foundation right today, what's tomorrow worth? That bothers me because, see, I know that's what people are doing, but just get the point. See? When that head united with that body, he had a message to bring. When that head united with Brother Branham out there, I believe, in Tucson, Arizona, you can believe what you want to. That's up your business because you'll do it anyway. But you show me where it met with him at. Show me where it compares with the prophet saying he'd meet you and give you something for the people. See? You show me any other place than the 63 when he met that out there. All right. But see, he come from there preaching a message. Because that's what he was saying on Christ the mystery God revealed and gave to you. Page 76. And what does he say? 1963, 728. And the Word and God is one in his church today, making it the headship of the body. And watch him. That is redeemed to bring the message in the last days and be taken up from the dead in the resurrection to go back and to restore again as Adam and Eve in the beginnings, garden, see, the threefold mystery of God. He said that when the head would unite with the body, it'd bring its own message. Well, that's exactly what transpired. He was standing there preaching the message. Right? Showing that the head had united with him. May not have been nobody else in the world with it, but that don't make no difference. If that head can unite with one person, it can fulfill all the scriptures. Remember, John on Patmos represented the entire bride. As one person. See? But see, you and I then have got to come to the place. By way of the message. But see, the Bible becomes a brand new book. I've heard people be in the message 6 months and quote that. Boy, when them seals broke to me, the Bible become a brand new book. Yeah. I'm not arguing with nobody. I'm just selling it like it is. Don't give a novice to... The novice is one who will mess it up. See? Just ask a few questions. That's all you got to do. Somebody tells you the Bible became a brand new book when the seals broke. Say, well, is Daniel 70 weeks? Do you have an understanding of that? What that got to do with it? Because your prophet said, if you don't understand Daniel 70 weeks, you cannot understand the seals. I didn't say that. Your prophet said it on the Daniel 70 week series. All right. See, just asked a few questions. And asking a few questions, you'll find out where the people believe, what they believe or not. Or is it just a quote? See? But now listen. See, then it's got to be that when the body of Christ, all right, we covered Brother Branham, he brought the message, right? We're not looking for another message. We're not looking for another prophet to come, somebody else to come and explain it to us or tell us all about it because Brother Branham was confused. No, sirree. See, if that's it, pull your shoe off on a kiss your toe because you got to be Almighty God. That's not a joke. Because the next would have to be Almighty God. That's why Brother Branham would bring it. He didn't say the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwell in the prophet. He said the fullness of the Godhead bodily would dwell in the bride of Jesus Christ in the end time. Go to the unveiling of God and the mighty God unveiled and see if I'm right. See if the prophet said the fullness of the Godhead bodily would dwell in the bride. And see if he makes these statements where he said that the Godhead is not complete without you. But are you listening? See, that prophet proved he came to adoption. All right. God proved it. Vindicated it. Come down and proved it there at the tabernacle and the things. And proved it. But he had a message to bring. All right. Well, all we got to do, Brother Dale, just bring his message. That's right. I agree with you. But we got to bring it in the correct order. If it's not in the correct order, it's not his message. That's why I told you many times that he used to let other people preach, and then he would come out behind them and perform the signs, you know, and the healings. And he stopped doing that and started preaching his own message. Why? Because he knew they wouldn't bring it the way he wanted it brought. And he knew there was a message to come. See? There was a message to come, and he knew that. Because if there was a healing to come, there had to be a message follow it. Huh? And see, then it would follow that. Okay? And it would come out to that position, see? All right, but then what would it bring? See, when the headstone would unite or united with an individual, the Lord Jesus, Mount of Transfiguration, Brother Branham, everywhere you want to put it, I say out in Arizona, 63, whatever you want to do it, you got to still admit it came and got to admit it was adopted. You got to admit it come to the place to where it was hear ye him. You got to admit that because he comes over to the marriage and divorce and he actually speaks in the first person. And says, I say. Yeah. See, then in doing that, see, then that was bringing it to the bride of Christ. And when the bride of Christ comes to the place to where that she can be adopted as an individual, because that's the way God does it. He adopts individuals. He doesn't adopt a group. He doesn't adopt a nation or a people like that. He adopts individuals. All right. Then when all the individuals are adopted, see, then the body will be complete and the headstone will be united with the body. It ain't that you've got to have each individual get adopted and then come up to a place and then, well, now we're all adopted. Now here comes adoption. No, that is your adoption. When you're adopted as individuals into the body of Christ. See? Then God can do great things, yes. See? But then, see, the message would have to spring out from that. What message? See? A message would spring out from the headstone uniting with you. Because it did from the Lord Jesus, it did from Brother Branham, and if a person in this bride is a capped off individual in the headstone, not like I told you about the brother that told me years ago, said, day I got the new birth, I adopted right there, headstone, everything. Well, I didn't agree with him. I certainly didn't agree with the other fellow, though, but that's all right. But listen. See? You remember how we tried to bring it out the other day? The Lord Jesus wants that headstone united with him to Mount of Transfiguration. Right? He went forth to explain the redemption of the body. Now, you remember that message a few weeks ago? And how that Brother Branham, when the head united with him, and the Bible became a brand new book, and he began to preach the things after the seals broke and the things like that, that it come to a place that he was explaining to wit, to understand. He had reached the third stage of adoption. The third stage of the adoption is not the change of the body. I've tried to explain that. The third stage of adoption is to bring us to an understanding of, to wit, to understand the redemption of our body. See? It's not something that we come up to a certain place and then this take. No, it's what is taking place. See? So the head and body can unite to bring the message. See? Not a different message, not something else the prophet didn't bring. Come on. No, but to bring forth what he has brought unto us. Then I asked the question. I said, do you understand that you're just as perfect as God is? That's hard for the human being to accept, isn't it? But you know what? Somebody someday is going to understand that. And they're not just going to be talking about it. It won't be a quote. It'll be a revelation. And when it is, God can take it and make it come to pass. Now remember, it's got to be revealed. Right. See, so what is the third stage of adoption? It's not the coming of the headstone. It's the coming of the understanding. It's the message the headstone will bring to bring us to an understanding of, to wit, to understand how this body is going to be redeemed. See, then as it brings forth, what will it be? It'd be like the prophet said on sign of this time, number 2 in your notes, 63:11-13. And this great, life's great step must come into the perfection that the Holy Spirit has to live in that church so perfectly, it'll make the head and the body unite together, see? That's the body. He is the head in the body. Now listen to him, read it. He is the head in the body. I'm not misquoting that. You read it yourself. Now we find that he promised in those last days that that would be done. We find it. The last great step to take place. When the head and body unites, there's a great step to take place. There's a message to sweep out. Now, may I say it again? Not another message. When Jesus come to his position, he had preached a lot of things. But when he reached that position of the headstone, he brought a message, didn't he? And Brother Branham had preached a lot of things. But when he come to that headstone, that adoption, he preached his message. Because as we proved it and showed it, he said it not in the preparation of the years and things like the rapture message. He said not in the preparation, but he said when it, he begins to bring his message. Brother Brown's message began with the seals opening. And then he brought the message of redemption. That's why I've invited you to go and even read the titles after the seals broke. Christ the Mystery, Future Home, Things That Are to Be. Who is this Melchizedek? Marriage and Divorce. Everything goes into a future extent. Even the titles of the message itself shows that what he was bringing. Well, when are we going to get into it that way? Well, we're just in the message. We're in the message. Yeah. But what are we doing? Yeah. Why can't we see what God has already done? Yeah. future, when the pyramid is completed and the head will unite with the body, see, there will be the fully revealed Word standing there. All right? Now, as it is, then the prophet told you what that would be. What shall I do with Jesus, called the Christ, or what shall I do with Jesus? 63:11-24. Their big church is to be united. The dynamics of this church will be a refilling of the Holy Spirit that we have worked in a small measure while the headstone is coming down to unite with the body. But when the head and body unites together, the full power of the Holy Ghost will raise her up, just exactly that. Even the dead that's dead in Christ for hundreds of years will rise in the beauty of His holiness and take a flight through the skies. The dynamics is the Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. So what will it be? When the headstone unites with the body, something's going to take place. Uh-huh. Something's going to transpire. See? A refilling of the Holy Ghost is going to take place. All right. Now, to show you a little future of what we're talking about. You remember in 1 Kings 8:6-11? Or go into 2 Chronicles, is really better, 5:9-14. If you write them down and read them, you'll find that that was where when Solomon finished the temple. When Solomon finished the temple. Solomon done all he could do. Now I'm reading Brother Branham. If you look down on dedication, you'll see it. But did you notice after the building was completed, it was still an empty building? There was nothing in it but furniture. Now I'm reading Brother Branham. So Solomon had done all he could do. Now the great day of dedication come when they were going to dedicate this building for worshipers to worship something. Now watch, worship something. Now without something there to worship, the building would have been in vain. Are you listening? But the building was now ready for dedication. Now, there was nothing there but furniture. Now, they were outside, if you'll read, and they were offering sacrifices by the thousands. All kind of things was transpiring because they were getting ready. The priest was ready, washed, clean. And I'll tell you what, I bet you that's the cleanest fella you've ever seen. Because if I was going to do what he done, you better believe it would take more than Clorox to clean me up. And you could scrub me with a scrub brush, with Red Devil Eye soap, and I wouldn't have said a word. You know why? Because he was fixing to go in a position that if he wasn't clean, he was dead. Everything was ready. Everything was set. Now, I know the high priest didn't go in right there, so just go on. You got to keep reading your scripture to get the rest of it. But now look. Nothing there but furniture. Nothing there to worship. Now watch. And the Levites positionally took their place, went into the corner and got their poles, run them through the rings on the ark. Now, this is the building of the temple, not the one Moses done in the wilderness. So the sacrifices and things the high priest had already done back there, in case you missed what I was saying a while ago. But watch what he says. Run through the rings on the ark where the tables of stone was on the inside. Two tables of stone. Same stone. These two are one. Same commandments. Same covenant. And when these two tables of stone with the cherubims and their wings pitched across one to the other. Now, what is that? The Ten Commandments was in the Ark of the Covenant, right? See? Now, get the point. When that went into the temple, it was still just furniture. You say, Bud, you're in bad shape. No, I'm not. Because the prophet is not referring to the Shekinah glory until after they reach their position. He's not talking about back there where Moses was at. Those two tables of stone came in. That still didn't bring the shout and glory, hallelujah. We can say we believe the message, but has the message been revealed? All right. See? Moses constructed it, got everything ready. Down through the building of dedication they came, till it brought it to its resting place, where it fit down into the sockets of the great huge place that had been set for it. And when it fit down and finally came to its resting place, the ark, the Bible said that the Lord descended down upon the place after the word was in place. He didn't call it the coming of the two stones coming into the building. Follow the prophet. Till it filled the entire temple. The pillar of fire came in there with such great glory of God till the ministers could not minister anymore because of the glory of God. That's when it found its final resting place. Listen. The Shekinah glory that followed those capping stones. See? All right. Not the corner, the capping stone, the main. All other stones was of none effect until then. But this main stone came in, the headstone, and took its place positionally for its resting place for that generation. The glory of God filled the building where they were sitting, and there was Shekinah glory upon the whole building, and the glory was so great till the priest couldn't even minister because of the glory. You say, Brother Dale, what are you looking for? Even after the head and body unites, even after the adoption of the head and the body unites and you see manifested sons and daughters of God, then the Shekinah glory will be able to have something to fall on, or, in other words, bring us the message. The head and body unite and bring a message. What would be that message? To wit, to understand the redemption of this body. Amen. Now, what are you saying, Brother Dale? I'm saying that just because you read the book doesn't mean you got it. Because Brother Branham, I'll get to that Sunday and I will not say no more about it tonight. I will say it now this way. When Brother Branham preached those seals, if God had not come down and quickened that, it would have been letters on a page. And that's exactly what it is right now to you and I. The Bible is letters on a page. This message is letters on a page. Have you ever noticed, I'll say this, because I said I wasn't going to say nothing, but I will a little bit. You notice you can read a book one time and you're not getting a whole lot out of it. And you go back and read the same book and you get more out of it. I'm going to say it and you ain't going to like it. It's not necessarily that's been revealed to you. It may be now. I didn't say that. I said not necessarily. I said it could be because you just had your understanding opened. Right? Now, I have to end right there because I get in the message and can't. See? See, we talk about adoption in three stages. We talk about everything in three stages. Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Adoption in three stages. What? The new birth. the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, the hear ye him. But see, then there's more to it beside the hear ye him. What are you wanting to manifest his sons here for? Now come on, when I first come in this message, you know what they taught us? We don't need manifested sons here. We'll have them in the millennium, though. I said, what in the world do we need them in the millennium for? I didn't know Brother Branham made that statement. But one day I found he made that statement. He said, we need them now. But I said, why do you need them in the millennium? We need them right now.
Right. That's right.
But I'm going to make another statement. Brother Stephen, I noticed he mentioned it. He said, Brother Dale said that everybody in the world could have the faith of the fathers or something like that, you know, but that won't bring the rapture. I know you're going to differ on this, but go ahead. All the bride of Jesus Christ could have the headstone united with her. There's still got to be a message. There's still got to be something to happen. You're only at the stage of being able to understand. Now, do you think Brother Dale has died and dried up? I am looking forward, but I'm also looking backward to see what God has already done. There's got to be a quickening power strike this church, but it'll only be after the bride has the word completely sewn down. There's no need of bringing it until it's sewn down. That's why we've been here 40 years. In the sewing down of the word, the planting of the word, the fussing around Horeb, the arguments and the bickerings. But it's time to go into the promised land. What are you looking for, Brother Dale? I'm looking for people to stand up and preach the gospel that God can vindicate. He told me that 40-something years ago. He said, you preach the word exactly and I'll vindicate it and back it up. I thought, Lord God, I've been doing the best I could do to preach it like it is. But then one day it struck me. After that headstone unites with you is the only way you'll be able to understand the redemption of the body. Outside of that, you're only talking about it. You're only planting seed in the field. You're only getting your understanding opened. Once our understanding, you said, well, my understanding is open, that means I got the new birth. No, the disciples had the understanding opened before they got the new birth. If they hadn't, they wouldn't have known what the new birth was. See, I'm looking forward to something. Brother Brown said there'll be a baptism of the Holy Ghost that'll come down and fill every fiber of our being and take us in the rapture. But you know what? It didn't come there until the tables of stone. They had plenty of room in there. They had a beautiful, wonderful place, but all of it was machinery. All of it was what we call mechanics, and the basis of that it was furniture sitting there. And when that art took its place, it was more furniture. But inside of that ark, now watch, why did it say, I'm asking you a question, why did it say that the prophet was bringing it out, so it must have said it in the scripture, that when that ark reached its resting place, then the Shekinah glory came. Shekinah glory didn't come when it walked in the building. Shekinah glory didn't come until it got it right up and set it into place right where it's supposed to be. And then when that was done, here comes the Shekinah glory. When the word, that's all I've ever tried to do. I've never tried to do one thing. And try to get you to see and open your understanding to God's word. To where God could come down and speak to your heart and quicken it unto you. There's plenty of things left for us to do and going on. Because we got to go on to a change of the body. See, everybody wants to think that quick as the headstone comes, it's all over with. No. When the headstone comes to the body, even as a group, it's just now ready. It's just ready then for the Shekinah glory to quicken all you have in your field. Anybody got any questions? Anybody got any questions? I hope I've tried to make myself clear, because that's 40-something years of studying to see what this prophet has said. Oh, but Brother Dale, I always thought that when that Shekinah glory, that's right, when it comes, but it's got to have something to land on. The Bible's right when it said when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Yeah. There is a place and a time for all things, or to all things, excuse me, Ecclesiastes says. There's a time to understand. To understand the redemption of these bodies. Adoption is not covered as the change. That's what we think it is. The third stage of adoption is to be the revelation of what it will take to change us. To wit, to understand the redemption of the body. There's plenty to come. That's why it doesn't bother me. 40 more years? What would that make me? I'd be 130, maybe 110, 11 years old. I believe I can make it. I know I still have something to preach. You say, no, see, we're getting older. I was listening last night, we was, to Brother Branham as he was talking. And you better listen to what he says, because that's right, what he says. But, you know, we're getting older, losing our memories and everything else. But you know what he said? He said, if I had a choice, whether it was first 25, second 25, third 25, or the fourth one. Right? He said, the first one, now I'm quoting him, he said, the first one would be all right if you're running after women. That's good. You know. You know, if you've been honcho-muncho, first 25, you know. But he said, the next 25, you start doing this, the next 25. He said, if I had my choice, I'd want to be here from 75 to 100. You say he never lived to be that old. I'll agree with you. But that's what he said. Because he said, I'd be more mature. You say, well, now what about Alzheimer's? We ain't talking about Alzheimer's. We ain't talking about Alzheimer's. That's the devil's doings. We're talking about what God says can happen. If he can take a 110-year-old man and have eight, I believe it is, I think he had seven sons and daughters, didn't he, after, I know it, at least that. He could do a lot with you and me. You say, yeah, but 100 years old, you're getting so, you're slipping. I may be slipping, but the one that's inside of me. I like what Brother Rand said about the old black man when he was up there, you know, had that old long trench coat on, the little ring of hair running around him. He said, my Lord, why didn't they get some of them young guys to get up there and preach? Why'd they put that old man up there? He said, that old man read, said the others were fooling around with what was on earth. Said the old man read about how that it started for the foundation of the world, and said he preached a while, and said he jumped up and hollered, whoopee, said, you ain't got enough room up here for me. He said, Lord, I want some of that. I want some of that. Do you see? Maturity comes with age. You may not have enough sense to be able to explain it, but it's still there. See, we deal with only the negative. The prophet was looking at the positive of the maturity of the individual to where they're settled. Can they come and talk to you and deprogram you and get you to believe a Trinity? Now, come on. If they can do that, you're lost to start with. I mean, people can turn you against this message. A brother over in Alabama just broke my heart. He preached right here in this pulpit. Pray for him. Brother Jeremy. What is it, Gunther? Is that his last name? What's his last name? Jeremy. Gunther. Gunter, yeah. the big guy that come here and preached for us from Alabama, preached when Brother Hickey was preaching, but he preached two services. He just walked away from the message. Said Brother Branham was wrong. It was all over the tent because he's trying to figure it out. Said Brother Branham was wrong. He said if he's ever wrong one time, don't believe him. So, of course, he found one time where he thought he's wrong. You say, well, Brother Dale, what about it? We're all going that way if we're not genuine. This is the age of manifestation. This is the age of making known. Some guy run for president, you ain't never heard his name. Don't even know the man exists. And the next day the papers is full of his life story. They know everywhere he was born at, when he was birthed, and how many people was in the birthing room. And who spanked him. Right? You know what I'm saying. And they nailed the man's hide with his life. Because this is the manifesting time. This is the time to make known. But I ain't caring about making known who's going to be president and what's going to take place. I just want to know, to wit, I want to understand how this body can be redeemed. Amen. All you got to do is just get in Jesus Christ. Amen. We've preached that 40 years ago. We preached that 2,000 years ago. And all you had to do is get in Christ. That's true. But why hasn't it brought to pass the rapture? Did the prophet say the quote I gave one ago? That said, when the bride realizes who she is, and what, in other words, paraphrasing the quote, and what she's here for? We're here to strip Satan of one power that he still holds. Now, you say hold? No, God took it away from him, but you know what I'm saying. He still has the ability to bring man to the grave. You agree? So he still holds that ability to take us to the grave. But we've got to strip him of that. And we can't strip him of that running around in little sugar tit playing around things. And arguing and fussing over little things. And our little petty feelings. We've had 40 years to get rid of them. 40-something years to get rid of them. Think on these things. I'm going to say one more. Just I'm going to make sure you understand what I'm saying. Because see, I believe you've got to get the new birth. Then I believe that growth and development brings us to the stature of a perfect man, and then the headstone can unite with the body or the individual. All right. And that's the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, verse 21, 18 through 21 or something, 22, where the world's waiting on that. Well, why is it waiting on it? It's waiting on them to bring a message. What do you think these sons and daughters are to do in the last days? To bring a message. Brother Branham said, and he even talked about, I don't remember the man's name, but said he takes the word and just stands there. And said he preaches it so straight and hard, he said, until the devil can't do nothing with him. That's what I want to do. The devil is driven out by the revealed word. Amen. The only way he can be driven out. Let's stand together. Come on. Think on these things. Think on these things. To wit, to understand the redemption of the body. When we understand it, the Shekinah glory will fall upon that understanding that is brought unto us. To quicken it to us. There's where then the temple was. When those Ten Commandments came in and found their socket place, then the Shekinah glory fell. God was in his temple. You receive the new birth, God is in your temple. When you receive adoption of the Hear Ye Him, God is more in that temple. When you get the understanding of the redemption of the body, God is more in that temple. When it's all quickened to us, we're going to walk off this earth. Because it can't be in a, nothing. It's got to be in there. Just a change. Go ahead, Ray.
194.
Anybody have a need?
Nations are breaking.
Israel
is breaking. Signs in the Bible
foretold. Gentile days number with horrors encumber. Eternity soon will unfold. You believe it?
The day of redemption is
Little buddy's got a cold. Let's just believe and see it go away, okay? Lord Jesus, our little buddy's got an old cold or something, science calls it, a rattling in his chest and a sickness. But we believe your word, that by your stripes, our little buddy is delivered. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes.
Anybody else? First to your own, the day of redemption is here.
Its arms are failing for
fear. Our brother has a kidney stone in his kidneys. He says it's not bothering him, but we want the kidney stone gone because it's capable at any time of bothering you. All right, so let's believe it. All right, Father. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we condemn this thing that they call a kidney stone. It has no place in our brother's body. It's an object that's not supposed to be there. So we just lay our hands on our brother, believing with the bride of Jesus Christ, and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for taking that away. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? You believe it? Look up, your redemption is near. False prophet.
Brother, I'm going to be more dedicated to Lord. God, to take away the desire to whatever it is that makes
me respond. God's revelation will walk where the apostles have trod. The day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for
Father,
fear.
You heard our buddy. Lord, touch his body because he needs a touch from you. The Father, also reach down and clean out all of those things that are bothering him. Lord, take it all away from him because we believe you. Lord, by your stripes he's healed. You sent your word and delivered us and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So just come and make it manifest now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Go believe it, brother. Anybody else?
Be filled with the Spirit.
Do you believe it? Look up. Your redemption is here. Do you believe it? Look up. You say, yeah, but look, we're getting older. I'm getting one day closer to the change of this body. I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, thank you. You give me another day. Now if I can serve you today, fine. But I'm one more day closer to the change of this body. I'm one day closer to being young.
Ain't God good
to give us so many blessings. Come, you believe it? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today, whole lot more tomorrow. Father, our buddy's facing operations and hurting in his back. But we ask you, Lord, to just reach down and touch him. Take that away. He's got to go for the test and things, Lord. So just deliver a buddy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm a brand new man. We are heirs of the Father. You believe it? You believe it? Then just stand on it. Say, thank you.
We are people of His kingdom. We are family. We are one. May God help us to give us all of it. I said, undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank.
Father, just give our sister the wisdom, Lord, to what to do and all to help our brother. May she remember that we ask this of you this night. In Jesus' name. Anybody else? Tell them a little more today. A whole lot more tomorrow. He's wonderful, isn't he? Just think about him and what he's done for us. You know, I think about that all the time. I think, Lord, you know, you don't try to compare with nobody, but David, he said, I took you from taking care of a few sheep and I made you a king. You know, every one of us standing here was taken from a garbage pile. Poor. Right? And God gave us not filthy rich, but He's given us riches enough. He's given us all we need. But mainly He's given us eternal life. And then brought us into this message so that we could understand. Why wouldn't we be the most wonderful, you know, people to thank the most of God and appreciate Him for what He's done for us? What He's given us. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Let's sing one more, then we'll go. Right?
311.
So glad
that morning when this life is over, fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. Just a change, the prophet said. You know, if you'd have asked a theologian what that was, I wonder what kind of a word you would have got there. If you'd asked all them big fellers, you know. What about this translation? Doctor so-and-so? Well, it's got about 6 months later, he'd still be trying to explain it. The prophet said, just a change. Just a change. That way you and I can understand it. I fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a home which you'll never reach. You remember Joe and Rachel, they'd be probably coming home this weekend, so remember them on the road. Pray the Lord would bless them. You're dismissed. Sing that to one another as you're leaving.
I can't die.
Give it everybody a wave. Give everybody a signature. We love you in Jesus' name.
Fly away.